I don't know, you like. I feel like pulling out a Beyblade in the fucking middle of a bar is the same thing as a grenade.
Well, okay, no. And let me be clear. I was the coolest fucking guy at that party when I pulled out that Beyblade, okay?
In your, in your head.
Everyone, you know, all these women that were there were like, oh my God, that's so awesome. And they didn't talk to us for the rest of the night.
You're a child and you like Misty from Pokemon and she is older than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you grow up and you still kind of like Misty from Pokemon and now it's like a problem because
now you're a pedophile. You're
for liking someone, a character that you liked when they were older than you are.
It's like childhood. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know how you square that circle.
Well, for most normal people, you don't. Because most normal people don't give a shit about that kind of thing. It's really only like crazy people on Twitter that do. Like you'd be surprised at how little normal people give a shit about any of like any of like this like moral fiction stuff.
That depends, all right? Like if I think if you go out to in public to like normal people and then you're like I jerk off to this image and you show like Misty from Pokemon looking very young. I think there are a lot of people that would have a problem with that.
I think that, probably because you just approach a random person. They would have a problem with literally anything that you showed them in that context.
I'm saying like you could show the context, them, you could show in this them, world like, that like,
this is what I beat off to. And it's like a picture of like a porn star or someone. Like they'd be like, why the gross? Why are you showing me?
I need that image put in my head. Thank you. What the fuck?
thank you, stranger.
Welcome to the Weave Crew podcast.
Welcome to the Weave Crew podcast. Where we have deep moral debates that it seemingly just go. And really, this is just all your fault because you will come up with some of the worst hypotheticals. I think I have. I have ever heard.
Listen,
and then I have to deal with it. I have to be the level-headed party here. And frankly, I'm just not equipped to do that.
Listen, are they the worst or are they the best?
I guess that they are the best at being the worst is what I would say. the best at being the worst.
But aren't they also good?
The best at making me question our friendship.
Aren't they also good at start generating discussion?
Yes, but that is not necessarily good or productive discussions. A lot of the time it's just really fucking stupid. You're just basically being like, oh, I'm throwing a grenade into the party to get it started.
Are you saying you don't do that? You fucking lie to me.
No. I mean, maybe I just forget. It's easier for me to remember like when it comes from you because you don't say insane stuff on like an hourly basis is the thing.
Yeah, but you.
So when you do say,
I don't know, you like, I feel like pulling out a Beyblade in the fucking middle of a bar is the same thing as a grenade.
Well, okay, no. And let me be clear. I was the coolest fucking guy at that party when I pulled out that Beyblade. Okay.
In your head.
Everyone, all these women that were there were like, oh my God, that's so awesome. And they didn't talk to us for the rest of the night.
I was the coolest motherfucker in my fedora and trench coat.
Absolutely. And you know why? They probably didn't talk to me or like any of my friends just because like, wow, these guys are so cool. We're just simply.
They're too intimidated. Simply
not worthy. Yeah. You know, that's crazy aura projection. All right. I guarantee you, had I whipped out a Bakugan at that party, they would have just fucking flooded the entire floor.
Just imagine aura farming with a fucking Beyblade.
That is literally what the Beyblade anime is.
Beyblade anime is aura farming.
That is literally.
There is that like short where like the Beyblade like jumps onto the top of the arena. And it's just aura farming.
I mean, have you? Oh yeah. I mean, have you ever seen any of like the Beyblade commercials where they more or less present it like cockfighting?
Do they whip their cocks out? See.
No, cockfighting, it refers to chickens, and granted, there are no chickens, they're not actually cockfighting, mind you, but they are treating it as such, like it's an underground, yeah, like, gambling.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Like when what you lightsaber fight, you're not really using lightsabers, but, you know.
No, but it's like, you imagine, like, you go to, like, the back of, like, a Chinese restaurant, instead of, like, a bunch of, like, old Chinese men playing, like, mahjong, or whatever, there is, it's just Beyblades, all chain-smoking, gambling over Beyblades.
That'd be pretty cool.
I feel like that's like, something that has to exist in the Beyblade universe, and they're just not showing it to us because it's a TV show for children.
When are we going to get like media for millennials where they do that kind of stupid weird shit? Where there's like a black market for Pokemon cards, Beyblade fighting in the back rooms. I feel like that's like something that's going to exist.
Are you familiar with Ready Player One?
That is not
what you just described.
No,
the most soy fucking,
yes,
fucking
but
thing.
No, it is the most soy fucking. But that is not.
Here, let me show you this fucking commercial.
Why are they doing the Kendrick Lamar scream?
Psst. Ah! No, it's like Arabic, like thing or some Middle East. I really need someone to like edit this commercial, and it just cuts to like an actual Beyblade event in real life.
I didn't know they still like advertise Beyblades.
Well, there's a new line of Beyblades coming out. I don't know if it's chill. I think it might literally just be like people like me, man children, you know, in their 20s, just buying this shit.
Yeah, they used to like have adults in the trailers to make it cool looking.
There was an old
yeah,
guy.
Now they just have adults in the trailers because that is who they're advertising to.
that is who their clientele are. That old guy is just an original fan of Beyblade.
He's one of the OGs.
How long Beyblade's been around for what? Like close to 30 years now, I think, right? That was like what, 97? 9?
I don't know what's happening in this commercial.
Yeah, I don't know. They're like splashing paint. Oh, that one's on fire. Okay.
Nobody acts this hyped over fucking dreidels, all right? Like,
no. Well, I don't know. Maybe if you're like, I don't know, Jerusalem during like Hanukkah or something, maybe. Let me see. Like, when did Beyblade like start? Let me see. Beyblade started when 1999. So yeah, close to 26 years now. That's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, I don't want to think about.
I mean, not
it.
For me. No. Then it's like, yeah, just cut to like real life, like Beyblade stuff. Like, let me see. Beyblade tournament. Let me see. Come on. There's got to be like a funny video.
People cross or cosplay.
No. You know what, cosplaying? This must be like a convention or something. Imagine, yeah. It's like the commercial makes it look so hype, but when you actually watch it, it's just like, yeah, there's two tops lightly tapping each other. Although, the thing with like the new series is they have this ring around the arena, and there are like grooves on it. So what the Beyblade will do is it'll lock in to like this rim and then just like quickly like fly around and just like jump into the center really quickly, just basically do like a kind of thing, which is pretty fun. I'm sorry, I'm gay. I'm sorry.
You should not apologize enough for that.
I will now commit ritual suicide on this podcast.
That's the event of the day. Just sigh, committing seppuku.
I'm just gonna
with this Beyblade.
I'm gonna pull what we call a Bob from Primus. I'm just gonna hang myself with a belt in the doorway. You know,
listen.
I had that song stuck in my head all day yesterday, and I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe the voices in my head are trying to tell me something.
What do you think they're trying to tell you?
I had a friend that took about and hung himself.
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, anime. What did you want to talk about this episode, by the way?
I just threw an idea out there.
You typed this idea, and I don't know.
You had a stroke while reading it.
I will read you. Hold on. I will read you the message verbatim that Mumi sent me. So I just messaged him. I said, "Do you have anything you want to talk about, you know, for this podcast episode?" And here's what Mumi said. We could talk about these "uhs" are in the text, like in the fucking message, by the way. We could talk about database consumption and the rise of people engaging with the idea of characters divorced from their works, and the rise of stuff like Michael Jackson, Tupac, and MLK together on AI-generated videos. What does that mean? Did you just see that fucking like video of like Michael Jackson and Prince arguing over who had the better funeral, and that just like fucked with you or something?
No, so I was out with my brother yesterday. And he was like, "This is people keep posting shit like this," and like showed me a video of Martin Luther King as the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints talking about how he won the Super Bowl, and started saying, "I have a dream speech," but about getting a low taper fade or something.
Why?
And then he kept like showing me like videos where like it was Kobe Bryant and Tupac walking down like an alleyway together.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, this is an interesting phenomenon when you think about it.
This is why my electricity bill is like $200 now.
So we can generate that.
And just generate. You talk about me cold posting on Twitter. That's like 10 times worse. I could be so much worse. I could just start posting AI videos.
Listen, Sai is cold posting to burn the coal so you can stay warm in the winter. All right.
Stay warm in the winter.
The price of a cup of coffee.
It's no longer people going to be burning coal to stay warm in the winter. What they're going to be doing is like rendering AI videos and then using the heat from the render farm in order to stay warm in the winter.
That's what you need to do. When you put the render farms in like really cold parts of the country so that the homeless can like stay warm.
It's like instead of like they're gathered around like a burning trash can or something, it's just a render farm.
This is how we utilize society.
Instead of like sleeping on like the subway like exhaust grates where like all the hot air comes out of the subway, it's just a render farm is underneath it. We've actually gotten rid of all the subway systems in America, and we have now just replaced them entirely. They've just been filled to the brim with.
Listen,
GPUs.
You're joking, but in like 20 years, you know, like the scenes with like the stereotypical New York hobos or whatever by the burning trash can, that will just be render farms.
Yeah. I've seen Home Alone.
Yeah, that will just be render farms in the future.
And they're going to be doing that so they can, you know, render out a new Home Alone, Home Alone 2, that actually is now accurate to what New York City is actually like in 2045. Just kidding. We're all going to be dead.
Call me dead.
Well, here's what we do. Here's what we do. What if we put a bunch of render farms in Greenland, okay? And then we melt all of the ice in Greenland.
And make it actually Greenland?
Yeah, make it act. Did you know there's like a giant hole in Greenland? Like there's a giant lake in the middle.
You're fucking with me.
No, that's like a real thing. Like
we're fucking with Greenland.
Greenland.
Is that why we want to fuck Greenland?
No ice. No. See, yeah, Greenland literally just has like a giant pussy in the middle of it that, you know, in theory would be fuckable if there was no ice there. So let's get on that. I want to fuck.
This is the real reason why America wants Greenland.
And the real reason Donald Trump wants to fuck Greenland's pussy. Can you tell, dear listener, that we don't really have any anime. It's like the end. So the last season ended, and I feel like we've basically talked about everything that we wanted to talk about.
For the most part, yeah.
With that season. Yeah, and the new season has started up, and so far there's nothing really to talk about yet, at least not that we've seen. So we're just kind of here right now. We don't really have any.
I haven't even watched that much anime in the last week. I've just been fucking playing Silent Hill F, so.
Yeah, you beat it, didn't you?
I did beat it, yeah. I beat the first game, like the first playthrough.
Yeah.
I'm currently on my second.
So is it So the way the endings work, is it like you need to play through it multiple times? Like, it's like the first time you play through it, you get a set ending, right. And the second time has a different ending? Okay. I was thinking,
so the first ending is always like the same. I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't think there's a way. Like,
okay.
I guess there is a specific condition listed in some other endings that maybe you could try doing and maybe potentially get a different ending, but I think it's always set to this specific ending. And then okay. That opens up once you beat on New Game Plus and you're on New Game Plus, then it opens up like the avenues for the new endings and stuff, which honestly,
yeah. And then
it's kind of cool. It's a bit more, what's the term? Like binary, I guess, than Silent Hill 2's endings, but it does kind of remind me of that.
I heard it was not non-binary.
No, so like one of the conditions is like not using a specific item throughout the entire game.
Okay,
which directly ties into it.
I think when the way you described it, it sounded like Lisa. Basically, have you played Lisa?
I have not. I thought you were talking about Lisa from Silent Hill 1. Lisa.
No. Lisa, the painful RPG.
Yeah. Earthbound fans' favorite RPG maker game.
Yes, that's not Undertale.
That's not Undertale, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I ended up really enjoying it so far. I don't understand the problem with the combat. I haven't understood that, because I'm like, On one hand, I can see how it's a bit more like empowering, so maybe that is an issue. I'm fine with that critique. But also, like, people try to act like it's too combat focused at points, and I can understand that critique. I kind of liked how combat focused it got toward the end, in the sense of like it made you expend all your resources. Because, like,
oh, yeah, you said you're just like a gauntlet fight at the end.
Essentially, something like that, which put a lot more stress on me than, like, any other Silent Hill game. And it's not like that's, like, unheard. Like, fucking Silent Hill 2, you have to fight, spoilers for the end of the game or whatever. You have to go through and fight two pyramid heads together at the same time and then go fight the final boss, and you don't get more health items and stuff. So it's like that's not an uncommon thing.
This is
just doing it
like it's the Elite Four.
Yeah, sort of. This is just kind of doing it. It was kind of fun because like I get to a point where I literally have one hit. I have one health and no healing items. And I'm like, how am I going to fucking beat this part with no health?
Well, you just don't get hit.
Just don't get hit. They do have ways for you to like, cause like you get, something called a Mamori, which are like
the Mamori,
you know, like the good luck charms you get fucking shrines and stuff. It's basically those, but you can equip those and they give you like different buffs. I was able to like find a combination for me to like get the hole out of the hole I had made for myself using those and then like utilize some of the stuff I had to then beat the area I was in where I got new health packs and stuff like that. So that kind of stuff was fun. I had fun with that. The people are kind of like complaining about the spiritual stuff.
I don't understand.
I guess to get into mild spoilers,
like the folk religion elements of the game,
sort of. So like, there's not like an other world in this one. It's like the other world is like the spirit realm or something.
Yeah, like Ikai.
Yeah. So you go into the spirit realm, and there's a lot of like metaphor for, you know, giving up parts of yourself for a union or partnership kind of thing. And you're in union with a fox deity kind of thing.
It's just like that arc from Mononoke.
So you get like out of context, it sounds really weird, but you get like a fox arm, like a giant monster arm. But it's only in the spirit realm sections because it's the spirit realm.
It's like Twilight Princess.
It's like Twilight Princess.
it's like Sonic Unleashed.
But it's like they complain like, oh, it makes you like immortal and stuff. I'm like, dog, that's like the last like quarter of the game, and it's only in half of it. Like you don't really. It's not like that carries over into the non other world portions of the game, right? Like it's not like you just get a more. Like, people really overstate like how big of an impact that is or whatever. It's like, yeah, I guess you could like find that concept in concept silly. I don't think it's that far off from like people becoming like I was thinking about this earlier because a large part of Silent Hill does have to do with like you projecting things that do exist into reality or like things that you didn't, because like that's the whole thing with Pyramid Head, right? In Silent Hill 2.
Yeah.
Pyramid Head is like an image of like a executioner or whatever that's in the town of Silent Hill at the historical center or whatever by Tulik Lake. And James then takes that image because it's an executioner and then projects that as like his torture or whatever, like the person that's going to like bring judgment on him because he deserves judgment. This is kind of doing the same thing, except this is like, you know, a Japanese person in the 1960s that is pretty spiritual in Shintoism. So she's like, is then projecting a bunch of Shinto stuff and it is kind of combining with like the spiritual elements of the area or whatever. Very similar to like Silent Hill. I don't know. Like,
rural Japan.
Yeah. Like the only like real argument, I guess, is like the town of Silent Hill is supposed to be like an Indian burial ground or something, and there's like a spiritualism to it that is supposed to be like unique to that area
that's slightly comical, but okay.
So it's something like they have like multiple. That's the thing about Silent Hill, is they have multiple different explanations for things, and you can kind of like insert what, and it's like it could be a combination of all of them, it could be one or the other. There's not really like a clear answer. This kind of does like a similar thing where it's like, yeah, there's like some Shintoist stuff going on. There's some drug induced stuff going on. There's not really a clear answer and like line to kind of like navigate. Or at least not any more so than in any other game, essentially. But I don't know, like people.
The critique that I've seen, and I haven't played the game yet, but the critique that I've seen that I've just kind of gone like, I don't believe that this person is accurately representing the game. People make it seem to be like very one dimensional in its theming or like what it's about. Like it's just an overt condemnation of like men or marriage or whatever.
That is clearly like people that have only played it once. Because the first time through, you don't get a lot of answers.
Okay.
And I can see how you would take that message. Like, even though it's very clear it's not the messaging, I could see more how you could take that, because people are like complaining like, oh, it's not very nuanced. It's not deep. It's just like, oh, it's saying that marriage bad or whatever. There's very clearly things going on. Like there's a thing with like the doctor. There's a doctor, like a, what do you call it? Like his little shack or whatever that you go into. It's not like a actual clinical practice. He is just a doctor in this town or whatever. And you go into his practice, and he's talking about how like they need to like try and marry the traditional and like modern medicine more so that they can bring the people that are kind of more traditional into the fold kind of thing. And he's talking, he's also researching like the Inari deities of the area. And he's talking about how like the children of today are more skeptical of like the Inari stuff. Like they don't follow, like they're more outspoken against it or whatever. And that's supposed to kind of be like encompassing this climate of the time where it's like progressivism versus conservatism of like adults or whatever, right? So like,
yeah,
the main character, the main girl, whatever, is very much of like a idea of like, oh, I'm basically having to cut off my arm to and like maim myself to be married, and then I'm being branded and have to change my entire identity kind of thing. And that is like the,
yeah,
the spiritual thing of like the game. But like, you, when you do more playthroughs and stuff, like there's a point where the mom character is like explaining to the daughter, like, no, that's not, that's, you don't have it completely correct. Like, you,
yeah,
you know, you're not in full understanding of what's happening or whatever. I'm only, that's, yeah, that, but that's only in multi, like on your second playthrough or third playthrough, whatever. It's like these people are just, yeah, playing one playthrough and then they're like, oh, this is fucking stupid. This is, it's all anti-natalism. But then like, they will also then simultaneously complain that like Hinako is like a fucking bitch character. And like, they're like, oh, they unintentionally made her like the worst character. I'm like, have you never played a Silent Hill game before? Why do you think that's unintentional?
You're also supposed to be kind of like, yeah,
like you think it's advocate for like anti-natalism and anti-marriage or something, and then you're saying that she's like the worst character, and it's like, yeah, that's kind of the point. I mean, not to say that's like pro-natalism or whatever, but it's like, you're not supposed to.
This is kind of like if they played like the first arc of Higurashi and then play anymore, and they're just like, yeah, fucking Keiichi's such a fucking asshole. What a fucking, what an absolute piece of shit. He just murdered all of his friends. Fuck this guy. What an asshole.
Yeah, it's like, this is the character's perspective. And like, the first, yeah, time you threw, you get it uncritically, right? Like, you just get hurt. And that's why you get like the ending you do, because it's not a good ending. It's kind of like a bad ending.
Yeah.
And it's on your second playthrough that you kind of get like more of the clarity. And you're like, oh, so this is kind of what was going on, because you don't really know what's going on at first. Like, you're kind of with the character where she's like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. And then once you go through your second time through, you know what's going on. You know why you're here. And so now you're getting like that different perspective. Like, it actually does change like dialogue and stuff a lot of time, where like now characters, instead of sounding like cryptic and like leading you to be like, what are they talking about? Now they just outright say stuff. Like, your dad's like,
yeah,
I think in the first opening scene originally, he's just like, why don't talk back to me, or you know, something like that. And then like the second time through, he's like, oh, we're gonna marry her off, and then we're not gonna have to worry about our money problems anymore, blah blah blah. And it's like, oh, so it's like just kind of just saying the quiet part out loud essentially the second time around.
Yeah
But it's very silly to see all these people complaining about like the feminist shit, because it's like, even if we went to like the extreme that this is like giving anti-natalist messages or something, it's like, have you not played the other Silent Hill game? Like, Silent Hill 3 is about like aborting God. I mean, that sounds like pretty natalist, pretty anti-natalist or whatever, right? Like,
yeah. No, yeah, I mean, Earthbound ends with aborting God.
Well, Gygax is not really God. Gygax is just like a strong psychic entity.
He's on his way up.
Yeah, but this is like literally a god. Like,
sure. Gygax at that point is like the embodiment of evil.
It's just like, I'm pretty sure Silent Hill 2, which is the one that everyone loves, came out today, and like if you just displaced it from history, right? Like, Silent Hill 2 never came out in 2001, and you release the exact same game with like the updated graphics or whatever today, people would hate it because they're like, why, what is this like straight white man guilt bullshit? Why are you presenting him as like a murderer? What is this fucking, like, why is she like a victim for like objectifying her? So, oh, she was raped. Oh, it's like, yeah, that's about what I would expect. Like, this reaction, like, it's just, people just don't comprehend like how fucking far they've like brain rotted essentially.
Well, I mean, video game discourse is like exponentially, it's in some degrees it's better, but then the worst parts are also much, much worse. Like, for as much shit as we give like Chibi or whatever, the peanuts compared to like, who's that fucking, a synthetic man, like, I was aware of him before all this, just through like other like Discord servers and stuff talking about him. So seeing you just kind of you stumble upon him and come to the exact same conclusion as everyone else is very funny to see.
Well, it's just like you watch him and you're just like, dog, have you never fucking played these games before? That's a long time. The funniest part is like all these videos, like, oh, it's a long time Silent Hill fans. Been there from the beginning. A long time Silent Hill. And then they proceed to like say shit that's like in every Silent Hill game and then complain about it being in this one. And I'm just like,
that's the thing. They say they're Silent Hill fans, but are they Ryukishi fans?
Are they
probably not.
I mean, they don't have to be Ryukishi. Like, Silent Hill F to me is like hardly any different from Silent Hill 3. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of it taking place partly in Silent Hill and Silent Hill 3, like a lot of the themes and stuff that they kind of engage with in Silent Hill 3 is very similar to Silent Hill F, where it's about like conformity, society, fears of like specific to becoming an adult or becoming a woman. Very similar themes in both of those games. This one is actually probably more in depth about those things because that is such a focus of this character, as opposed to like Heather, where it's like she's engaging with it because she's having to deal with the fact that she's like supposed to birth a god kind of thing. And so there's a lot of like fears that come with that alongside the spiritual aspect of it. This is kind of doing that, but with marriage and like the spiritual aspect, because like there's a whole sacrifice for like appeasement of the local deities or whatever. Like, I don't know. I feel like people just get weirdly up in arms over like nothing. It's like, yeah, this is not the cult or whatever from the original game, or the original four games, whatever.
People always, well, I mean, people will invariably find something. Like when that fucking Silk Song game came out, people were like, oh, this is bad for the indie scene because it's priced too cheaply. And it's like, what are we doing now?
People did complain about
like, this is good.
Silent Hill F being too expensive.
It's like, what, like $70?
It is here. I guess like in England, it's like 100 something because like it's £80.
They deserve less. They can go fuck themselves. They colonize half the world. They can pay a little bit more for video games.
I'm like, I understand because like I generally don't usually buy games on release day.
Same.
Because like,
this is a good practice.
Yeah, to have. They're usually either like not.
They there's a strong chance they will just break your PC.
Yeah.
Irreparably.
I didn't mind buying this one at $70 full price because I'm like, I want them to keep making these. Like, I don't want this game to just like fall off. Like, I want more Silent Hill games, right? Like, as many downfalls or drawbacks, whatever cons that this particular release has for you, like, I would rather them make more and be able to fix them than just to boycott this game. No one buys it. They don't ever make another one again. And it's just like, why?
Yeah. For me, like something like that would be like the Civilization series where like Civ 7 came out. Like I remember I bought Civ 6 on release, like however many years ago that was. I think like 9 years ago. I bought Civ 6 on release. I played it once and then just never played it again because I was so turned off by how bad. Not necessarily even like in terms of like the mechanics of the game were bad. Like the AI was just fucking stupid and the game was incredibly easy even on like a mild like a reasonable difficulty. And I played it again recently, well, kind of recently, within like the last year or so, and I was like, no, I think I this game, you know, Civ 6 is all right, it's not my cup of tea, but I can understand like the logic behind it, because there was like a problem in Civ 5 where Civ 5 could be very micromanagey. And I've noticed this especially because sometimes I'll play this game called UnCiv on my phone, and it's basically like an open source remake of Civ 5 just from the ground up. Really cool. Playing it on your phone's a fucking nightmare though, because you have to maneuver all of these individual units and stuff. It's a real hassle.
Wait, you're and saying Civ that 6, playing a PC game like Civ 5 is not intuitively done on your phone? That's crazy.
Yes. but with Civ 6, what was interesting to me about upon revisiting it is that things are a lot more streamlined, and it's not necessarily as micromanagey as much as it is like you really need to like plan ahead, like very far in advance in terms of like what, where you're going to place your cities, what you're going to be doing with these cities, what units you're going to be making. And then rather than just pumping out units, a lot of it is like you'll have like a small number of military units in the game, but you can make those units much more powerful. So that keeps like combat and war like more scaled down, because war in Civ 5 could be fucking annoying, yeah, to put it lightly. So that was like an interesting aspect to visit with Civ 6. And then I'm just not bought Civ 7 because it doesn't seem like it's doing too hot. It seems like there's been a lot of problems. And I, with the Civilization series, which is like a series of games that I've more or less played ever since I started playing video games on a computer, literally like more or less my, I distinctly remember I got Civ 4 as a kid, and I had like a PC in my room. I did not have internet connection on that PC. The only game I had was Civ 4, and sometimes I'd literally just boot up Civ 4 just to listen to the main theme, like the Baba Yaga 2 song. So, you know, played these games more or less, you know, the entire time, you know, decades at this point. And I'm kind of at a point where I'm just like, I don't know if I need more Civilization in my life. I like the games that have come out. I like playing 4, I like playing 5, even 6 a little bit. I remember playing like a little bit of 1 on like a Super Nintendo. I haven't really played 2 or 3, so those are always things to look forward to.
Feels very similar.
Do I need like a Civ 7 or a Civ 8? It's like, I don't.
I feel like you're like at the same point I am, except just like a game later.
Yeah.
Where I realized Civ 3 and then Civ 4 seemed like generally an improvement on a lot of stuff.
Civ 4, I would say, is like very well rounded, and the modding scene for Civ 4 is like second to none.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna be honest,
I did miss in Civ 3 being able to like stack your units on the borders, and so I'd have like hundreds of people just stacked on the border, and like you would not know how many people were there.
Oh, well, no, there was still doom stacking in Civ 4.
But that was like in your city. I don't think you could doom stack.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think you could
still doom stack like outside of cities.
I don't remember. I feel like
Civ 5 is where that ended. Civ 5 is where you could stack them. No, you couldn't stack them in a city, but what Civ 5 had was no longer doom stacks. It was doom carpets. And that's what made fucking war in Civ 5 hell.
Doom carpet.
Yeah, and then, you know, like Civ 6 is like, it's nice, you know, it's clearly a game made for a very much more casual audience who doesn't like to micromanage a ton of stuff. And it makes sense in terms of like, if you're going to put a Civilization game on like the Nintendo Switch, yeah, these are like, this is like a shift in perspective in gameplay, where it's much more about like just a lot of planning rather than a lot of moving parts. Because that would be a fucking annoying on a Nintendo Switch.
Have you played Civilization Evolution?
I have not. I think I own it, but I've never played it. There's a lot of like Civ like side games. Like, what was it? Like Beyond Earth. I never played Beyond Earth. I think I have Alpha Centauri, but I've never played it. Or even like, but even like beyond like the Civilization games, there's also like, I've played Stellaris since it came out, like coming up on 10 years ago. I think that game came out in 2016, maybe 2015. And I more or less played the game throughout its entire lifespan. And it's just kind of, it's struggling. And it's just kind of like, maybe it's time to let this one end. Let this game end. Stop pumping out content for it. Put out one last patch or some extra patches to like make it so the game is not horrifically optimized in the late game. Like the latest update they did was like 4.0. And the idea behind that update was more or less Stellaris up until that point, for the longest time in the late game, there would be so many individual like pops, like aliens, like in the galaxy, that the game having to run all these calculations would just slow to a crawl. So to a very interesting and funny meta where in order to make the game run faster again, you had to commit genocide on a galactic scale. you are incentivized by making the game run faster to kill everything, which is very funny. But with this latest update, what they did is they got rid of that problem, but then at the same time, the game is now slower at an earlier date as well. So even after just like 100 years, the game slows to a crawl, and you can no longer fix that by just killing everything either. So it's just kind of like, man, maybe we should be looking at like a Stellaris 2 at this point, because this is like, this engine is so old now, we're just packing more into it. I think it's like it's reached as much as can be stuffed into it. Didn't they announce Europa Universalis 5?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, well, you wouldn't know this. EU4 is on sale for, wait, hold on, how much was that off? Was that like 80%? 90% off EU4? It went from $50 to $5. That's fucking crazy. I mean, they also just made Crusader Kings 2 free, and then you can pay a subscription for like $5 to get all the DLC instead of paying like $300, which that was fun. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, it's nice to have like a new game in a series you like, but you can also, sometimes it's just better to, you know, let it end.
Let it end.
End on a high note, ideally.
I think
fade out. Into,
it depends. Like, I think something like Silent Hill, I think I would rather them make similar-ish games.
Yeah, well, I think another reason people had such a problem with like Silent Hill F is it's not in Silent Hill. People kept saying it's like Silent Hill in name only or whatever.
It's not.
No, but that's like, it's like people would be like, well, it's not even set in Silent Hill. Well, why is this called Silent Hill? And I'm just like, I don't.
I mean, first off, like, Silent Hill 4 wasn't set in Silent Hill.
This is the
Fooly
Cooly thing that we were talking about last week, where it's like, where's Pyramid Head?
Where's Pyramid Head? It's like, first off, Silent Hill 4 is not set in Silent Hill. I guess it has the cult, so I guess that,
yeah.
But it's like, is that all it takes? Like, in that case, like, Silent Hill F should be close enough. It's got the hallucinogenic flower shit.
Yeah.
People do keep talking about that, and they're like, oh, this is the Galapagos thing from Silent Hill and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it probably is. I don't know if it is or not. It's not confirmed. I won't go around saying it is until like there is some sort of, especially because like they keep saying like, oh, there's no connection to any other games. I was like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't really need to be. It's Silent Hill and ethos. Like, I don't care if it's Silent Hill for like vapid aesthetic purposes. I don't need fucking Pyramid Head to come out or Vadi or whatever the fuck fucking be Silent Hill. I don't need it to be take place in a town called Silent Hill to be called. I don't need them to be look at the camera and be like, this really is a Silent Hill to be called Silent Hill. Like, people like complain, they don't even mention Silent Hill. It's like, why would they? Why do you need them to say the name of the game? Just look at the camera.
Worse. Yeah. I mean, we could be like diehard Call of Duty fans or Madden fans. Are there Madden fans in this world? Is that a kind of person that exists? I guess there are FIFA people fans. Must be Madden fans.
People, I mean, I like playing.
I guess they're like so normie. I don't register them.
I liked playing Madden 09. That was fun.
That was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of the modern ones because they're like too. I feel like they're too complicated.
I feel like, well, isn't like, aren't the FIFA games just like loot boxes, basically? I feel like gacha games. I feel like the Madden games have probably progressed in a similar trajectory.
I don't think they have. They do have like a gacha mode, essentially, I guess, kind of.
Okay.
But like playing the game, you can just play online. It's just more like they just keep like overly complicating like the like minute to minute kind of game. Like your character, I don't know. It just seems, it's just too much for me.
Yeah.
I liked playing Blitz, where you fucking could tackle the guy after the play and like break his legs or whatever. Like I liked those kind of games. Madden 09 was like the last one I enjoyed. I've only played like a little bit because my brothers got them when they were younger.
Yeah,
and it's like it was okay, like, I guess.
Did they put out a new Call of Duty game every year?
They did for a long time. I'm assuming they probably still do.
Let me see. I'm curious about this. How often do Call of Duty? I feel because they just started like also just like remaking old ones now. Just funny to see. I would not want to be a Call of Duty fan though, because all these games are like 500 gigabytes now or something.
Black Ops 6 was released in October 2024. Black Ops 7 is scheduled to release in October 2025 or November 2025.
Okay, so that's coming out. Just keep coming out. What are these games? What are these games? How does this work?
I don't know.
Because people don't play these games for the story, right?
People like the Black Ops original story.
Yeah, but it's
like, I did play Call of Duty 4 for the campaign.
It just seems weird to me to like buy a new game every year to mostly just play the multiplayer on it, when it's just like, I feel like there got to be better ways to do this, right?
I mean, we are used to like TF2.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing, like TF2 or like an Overwatch or something like that. Like, imagine if like I don't play Fortnite and I never will, but imagine like if they came out with a new Fortnite every year that you had to drop like 70, 80 bucks on in order to keep playing.
Isn't
Fortnite
that basically just the battle pass?
But still, it's not like a wholly new game that then takes up hard drive space.
No, but it is like you do have to pay money for it, I think.
Sure, but I also don't how much is a Fortnite?
I feel like the battle pass is worse, because it's basically doing the same thing, except they found a way to charge you money and do it without actually like making anything new. They don't even have to like produce a new disc.
But you really need something new is the thing.
You don't
really need, like how like hold.
I mean,
like,
your argument makes sense as far as like a utility. Like, yeah, we don't need a new game to come out.
How big is Call of Duty 2? Call of Duty Black Ops 6 size. That's actually not as bad as I thought. Only 120 gigabytes. Sorry, 102 gigabytes. I don't know why I thought these games were.
That's fucking massive.
Like 300 gigabytes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, isn't 300 gigabytes after all? Oh, that's good. Wait, what about 5? What if I do 5?
I mean, 100 gigabytes is insane. I don't have a single game on my hard drive that's that big.
The reason I started thinking of this is I noticed that like Stalker 2 is like 160 gigabytes.
Oh my god.
Which, when I get this new PC, I might get Stalker 2, honestly. Have you played Stalker 2 yet?
No, not yet.
That might be fun.
I have fun with Stalker.
Yeah, well, Stalker 2 is like one of the most long-awaited games of all time, it feels like.
Yeah, I feel like I will buy it eventually, but yeah. I'm just not a game person, so it's easy for me to like put
stuff
on the
backboard. You're gonna buy Elder Scrolls 6 comes out?
What kind of fucking question is that?
What about the Oblivion remastered? Would you?
No, I didn't fucking. I didn't find that shit.
I might get the Oblivion remaster to get this new PC because I can finally play it. Like, what are the requirements for Oblivion remastered?
Bro, I fucking hate the Elder Scrolls. Fuck those games. the only Bethesda game I have ever enjoyed was Fallout 3. And I feel like that was a fucking fluke, because I've never enjoyed another game since. Like, I haven't enjoyed Fallout 4 even. I did enjoy Fallout New Vegas, but that's not
Bethesda. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
Fallout 3, I feel like was just like, because like nothing of what I enjoyed in Fallout 3 was present in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
So clearly is just
what
like
about Fallout 1 and 2, which are completely different kinds of games.
It's hard for me to get into isometric CRPGs.
Yeah, yeah, it's really what's the one that you do like?
Do you like Planescape Torment? But that's also like,
yeah, Planescape
it's similar. Okay, that one is similar to like Fallout 2, probably. Probably Fallout 1, whereas like I feel like you can get away with not engaging in the combat like at all. So I don't know, maybe I would enjoy Fallout 2 if I played it, but it's just it's harder for me to get into those games.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Elder Scrolls earlier because I started reading the Osama ranking manga, like part two, you know, past where like the anime ends. And I've realized that like the story structure of Osama ranking is, I think it's very much trying to go for like a One Piece kind of thing where there's is this like end goal that they'll get to at some point of like Boji getting a kingdom and being like the number one king and stuff. But the way the story is structured is it's basically they just go to a place. There's a problem there. They solve the problem. They go to a new place.
See, it should be set up like One Piece, except for instead of recruiting new crew members, he's recruiting new citizens.
And so, kind of. He is like building like alliances and stuff.
No, he needs to recruit specific citizens. Like he needs to recruit the best citizens from each country. And they're like, oh, yes, I will join your country. And he has to do this hundreds of thousands of times.
That's the only way like the population grows. But they like drip feed like more lore in the second, like we get a little bit towards like the end of like Osama ranking with like the Homa Yakuza Korean stand and stuff. But then like, they just have this panel in the manga, and I'm just like, oh, this is the Elder Scrolls. That's just Lilith Dagother over there. Fucking
Dagother.
Yeah, so I'm just like that's
in the second season.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the I still have not finished like the treasure box.
Yeah, one. That was actually pretty good. It's like a weird, that's like a DLC anime where yeah, it's like half it really of it is. Takes place during the show and is like fleshing out stuff that they cut. And the other half yeah, is like a sequel and takes place after the events of the show.
So does he like save Oaken then, yeah, basically, and then like lose his memory? Okay.
Yeah, that does happen in the second season.
Okay. And then the way the manga then progresses is, I thought the best, they basically just do the second half of season one again, where, you know, like it's like this like siege thing. And you have all these characters and bandits and people are constantly like double crossing one another. They do that again. And I'm like, that's fine, I guess. And it's not the best arc. And then now they're fighting. Well, they're not really fighting bugs, but there are bugs. There are bug people now.
That's probably not what you want.
No, the bug people. They're good. The bug people are good.
I don't know.
It's actually interesting because like they bring up, call like because like with the Korean stuff that was like a controversy in season one, it kind of makes more sense now why that's there given what happens later in the manga, because colonialism seems to be a more prevalent theme in the story where, you know, like the I forget what the name of the country is called, but the country that killed like all of like Kage's, like the Shadow Clan. They have basically reached prosperity just by enslaving everyone else. So that's like more of like a running theme. So it's, whereas I think it turned a lot of people off, and still it is very weirdly out of place in the story with like the Yakuza stuff. Whereas it also felt out of place in the anime watching it, because the show goes through such lengths to like humanize like all these different villains and stuff. More so in the manga, you're getting more characters that are just like, oh, these people are just evil. they seem to just be terrible people. But it's an interesting, aspect to it. I'm curious to see
how this
ends up. I mean, there's like, so the anime ended at part one, and where the anime ends basically ends around like chapter 156. And right now the manga is up to like chapter 265. And if it covers like some of this stuff that happens later on, there's probably like still maybe like 100 chapters to adapt. So they could do a season two relatively soon. I mean, it's been like 4 years now since Osama Ranking season one. And that first anime more or less adapted most of what was out by that time.
I wanted to say 2 years because I was thinking it came out 2022 and it's 2024. I hate myself.
It was like 2021 and it's 2025. So it's been a fair amount of time. We could get a season two at some point. One thing I will say, the anime definitely elevates the manga because the manga itself is very action heavy and the action, it's not the greatest. Like, it's already like Boji's ability of being like super fast and stuff. It's something that just works, at least it works better in the anime than how it's handled in the manga. Like the action in the manga is fine, but I'm not like, you know, it doesn't have the hype moments and aura that the anime really does.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see more Osama Ranking. Probably if they do a season two, it'll probably just adapt. Since that first part was part one, then this will probably do like part two. And kind of a problem maybe is I don't know where the fuck, again, it's like One Piece. I feel like the story could go on forever. Again, it's already 265 chapters, which is kind of fucking insane. When you think about it, the chapters are pretty variable in length. But it is one of those things that it could just be like, the end goal is so nebulous. It can just kind of go on forever. Basically, you can always just go to new places, see new things, do new arcs, introduce new characters and stuff. Which maybe that's like the idea, or not. It's maybe since the author is like, he was just a guy and he just started making manga. He like quit his job or whatever. He could just be just writing as much as he can with a successful series until it hits cancellation, basically.
Yeah. But if it gets canceled, like it's be canceled like 3 weeks and he just ends it in three chapters.
He ends it, kills himself.
Oh. What?
I don't know.
That's dark.
he ends it and blames it on Korea.
Fuck. You want to talk about anime?
We are talking about anime, goddammit.
This is manga.
I mean, I guess we're talking about manga.
It is manga.
Manga, but no, we were talking about the Osama Ranking. Osama Ranking. Anime a little bit there. It was also kind of shocked because I realized, oh yeah, I do just read manga relatively quickly as well because I just blasted through like 50, 60 chapters, however many chapters in like, felt like a few hours.
Yeah, I mean, manga's pretty easy to read.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. I was like, oh, I'm getting through this really quickly.
That's part of why I like don't feel pressure to read manga, I think, because like it is so quick to read. I also can't like find a lot that I'm like, I really need to read this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, I wanted to read like the Osama Ranking manga when the anime ended, but there was no manga, and what manga there was, I wasn't really translated because again, the anime adapted so much in the material that was already out. Then I saw like, oh, there's like over 100 chapters I could read here that are fully translated into English. Let's fucking go. And I'm not caught up, but I did catch up most of the way. So it's good. It's a pretty just relaxing, just chill read overall. I mean, there's some moments I'm just like, oh, that's like, I feel kind of bad. I feel kind of sad. See, oh no, I like this character and you just fucking killed them. Oh, well, oh, well, you introduce one character who is just like, the worst person ever. He's such a fucking piece of shit. That I'm curious to see how that goes over in the anime. God, fuck that guy. Yeah. Honestly, I'm gonna be real. This season of anime is kind of such like a sleeper. Like there are some things that I'm looking forward to, like Sanda, but I'm already just kind of looking forward to anime coming out next year. Like, I'm looking at, like, the slate of things that we're getting, like, even early next year, and I'm just like, God damn, can't come soon enough. Like, we have, like, that Little Mermaid thing. Did you see, like, the trailer for that?
Yes, I think.
Mermaid. Let me see if I can find this shit. No.
Tecton responded to you, by the way.
He did?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's fair enough, lol.
Fair enough, yeah. Why does this already have like 1,000 like, God fucking damn it.
What has 1,000 likes?
The fucking original post.
Oh, your original post?
The fucking where I'm just like, this you. Like, God fucking damn it. Anyway. Yeah, I'm just already looking forward to like anime coming out next year. Let me see if I can find the mermaid one. Hold on. Me see. Yeah, this shit. You see this yet?
Oh yeah, I've seen a trailer for this. This looks
Yeah,
good.
this looks like it'll be really good. I like it almost has like that kind of like cell look to it. It looks really good. So, fingers crossed for this. Ghost in the Shell. There's a lot of stuff coming out next year. I mean, really, what I'm looking forward to, the anime that I'm looking forward to right now are all coming into theaters because we have, when is the fucking Chainsaw Man movie coming out? Reese Arc Theaters. Okay, so like later on October, and then when is Hakuemu coming out? Theaters. God damn it. October 12th. So at least let me see. That might just be an advanced screening though, but it should be coming out this weekend. So no. Oh, so okay. So it'll play the 10th through the 4th, sorry, 12th through the 14th, and then it opens in LA on the 10th. Okay. What time you say that? When you say that wedding stuff was? You can probably go see that.
Saturday next week.
Yeah. So, well, this is like Sunday through Tuesday.
Yeah, I would be able to make that probably.
Yeah. And if you can't, I'm gonna beat you in the head with a rock because it's an anime podcast. We should probably talk about anime movies that are coming out, right?
Probably.
That seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
It just feels very rare for there. Like, I guess the anime movie everyone's talking about right now is the Demon Slayer Infinity Castle movie, which is now like sort of the highest grossing movies of the year, which is fucking crazy. Let me see what the fucking Infinity Castle box office is at right now.
People love Demon Slayer Infinity Castle. The greatest fucking thing ever.
Yeah, something like that. I don't fucking care. I don't give a fucking shit. $750 million. Dear God. This is, oh, wait, hold on. $124 million. I think that puts it above what was the highest grossing anime movie in America. Do you know what that movie was?
Spirited Away?
No.
Pokemon?
Yep, the fucking first Pokemon movie has been the reigning champ for all this time. Actually, maybe, How Do You Live beat it out. Let me see. How
I feel like I
do
doubt it.
it's possible. Let me see. Box office. Okay, that's just a different movie.
Yo, Live
Oh
Legends?
God, do I have to type in the fucking Boy and the Heron?
Yeah.
God fucking damn it. Okay, here we go. Domestic, oh yeah, only 45 million domestically. And then what was the Pokemon movie? 144 million domestically. Oh, when we say domestically, we mean in the United States too. Yeah, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back. Okay, no, 85 million domestically. I don't know where that other figure was coming from. Yeah, that's crazy to fucking think about. Is that better or worse though? What would you rather have be the highest grossing movie? The first Pokemon movie or Demon Slayer Infinity Castle?
Pokemon.
Pokemon, yeah, even though it is like decades old at this point. I guess these aren't adjusted for inflation, so maybe the reigning champ still is Pokemon.
Maybe. Oh, I feel like Pokemon's like whatever, because it's just like a universal kids property essentially.
Yeah.
Whereas like Demon Slayer is just,
well, Demon Slayer is for kids. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, but it's not like anyone said. It's like a very clearly an anime property, which I guess is
that's true. Well, it's like that's the thing. It's like Gekki Joban. It's like a, I guess the Pokemon movie kind of also is like a franchise film, but this one is like built into the plot of Demon Slayer, whereas the Pokemon movie is just like a side movie, completely unrelated to anything else.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be nominated for an Oscar?
Hell no. And it shouldn't be. I don't know what Oscar it would be all nominated for.
Best animated feature?
That
the second highest grossing animated movie of the year.
Is that best animated feature as in the best animated feature? Or is it the best animated feature?
No. Best animated feature. Not in terms of like animation or anything, just what was the best animated movie.
Yeah, so then it shouldn't win anything.
Okay. But should it be nominated is the question.
I mean, you can nominate it if you want. Nomination doesn't mean anything.
No. Getting nominated is also a big deal. You know, only so many nominations. This has been a terrible year for like Disney Pixar though, because Elio fucking crashed and burned, and now I think they're waiting on, I think Zootopia 2 will probably do well. Yeah. It's just a lot of wow, another Chinese movie. Nobody. Oh my god. What a terrible year for like big Hollywood cinematic animated movies. Good. Fuck them. The animated category of the Oscars has been doing better though in the last 2 years, because did you watch Flow with us?
No.
The cute cat movie? Okay. No. And then, so that one last year, which was kind of crazy because it was up against previous highest grossing animated movie of all time, Inside Out 2, and beat it, which this is like a movie that was rendered on the director's PC. Fucking crazy, made with open source Blender. The year before that was Boy and the Heron, How Do You Live? And the year before that was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. So the last 3 years have not been like Disney, Pixar, or like DreamWorks wins, or like any like big like Hollywood stuff. And I think that's literally because they are forcing people to now, the Academy voters now actually have to fucking watch the movies that they're voting on. They can't just. Because that was like always the thing with like the animated category at the Oscars is like the Academy members would just ask their kids what they think should win because they didn't take the fucking category seriously. They're just like, oh, animation is for kids. So let the kids decide. It's the Kids' Choice Awards. And I think that's changed in like the last few years, given what's won.
That's good. I don't care.
Yeah.
About, you know, award shows.
It's fun. No, you have to care, all right? He has to care about the Crunchyroll Anime Awards.
Do I?
Yes, because it's funny. I mean, maybe not. We might even talk about them next year because it's just like, what's the point? It's the same thing. It's the same shit.
Well, if they come out and someone just disembowels themselves on stage, then we have to talk about it.
That would actually be cool. That would be something. That'd be something worth talking about, not just like the terrible dub or having a murderer on stage. Alleged murderer, I guess I should say.
Do you think to make up for platforming an alleged murderer when if he is mm-hmm. convicted, mm-hmm. they should be forced to live stream his execution?
I don't think you should be I'm against the death penalty for one. Also, why Crunchyroll specifically, a fucking anime streaming service, would be tasked with that? Why? See, this just goes back to the start of the episode. What the fuck are these hypotheticals about? What the fuck are we doing?